This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Through education, motivation, and implementation, we will bridge the gap between knowing and doing so we can master fat loss naturally and help you reach your highest potential. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Today's episode is going to be super personal, super, super personal. Before we dive in, there's only a handful more episodes of the year, so I want to remind you for one of the last times to please help me reach my goal. I have set a goal to have 1,000 five-star reviews of this podcast in iTunes before the end of the year. And it feels a little bit nerve-wracking to set a goal that I have no control over other than doing my best here to help you every day so that you believe that this podcast in fact deserves that five-star rating. That's really all I can do about it. If you have yet to head over to iTunes/Apple Podcast, same, to leave a rating and review, it would mean so much to me if you would make the time to do that now. And I will also say, and have said every time that I've talked about this, if you don't feel comfortable doing that because you don't feel this show adds value or deserves a five-star review, please, from the bottom of my heart, email me. Direct to my inbox is elizabeth@primalpotential.com and tell me what I can do to help you or add more value so that this podcast is worth that five-star rating and review. To all of you guys that have taken the 30 seconds or so to do that, thank you so much. If you haven't done it because you don't know how, there is a how-to post over in the show notes for this episode, as well as the past couple episodes over on primalpotential.com. So thank you to all of you who have done that and will do that today to help me reach that goal. And just so you guys are like, that's a really weird goal, just to give a little context as to why that is a goal, I want this podcast to reach as many people as possible. And there are certain algorithms that iTunes specifically uses to determine whether or not this podcast shows up to new visitors to iTunes. And one of the biggest pieces of that algorithm is the ratings and reviews. So thank you in advance for just understanding that this is a goal to me, that it matters to me, and for helping out. I really, really appreciate it. Okay, so like I said, this episode is very personal. For those of you that don't like the personal stuff and who prefer the science, I hope you will listen with an open mind, and I'll tell you why I am doing this. Something that I do on my own every year, and often throughout the year, but especially at the end of the year, is do a year-end review. It's incredibly valuable to me, and I thought this year it would be more valuable to the Primal Potential community as a whole if I air it as a podcast, which is like really going out there on a limb. But I know how many people set goals for the new year, but I don't think we take full advantage of all the value that exists in having a deliberate process to go through the past year. And even when we do, when we think about, okay, what were those goals I set for 2017? And oh, what did I hit? What did I not hit? When we go through that process, we not only tend to rush it, but we also have a tendency, for better or for worse, usually for worse, to go through it very defensively. For example, if we didn't hit a goal, we'll be like, well, it was because of this and it was because of that. And we focus more on all the things that got in the way. And when we do that, we can't take full advantage of all the opportunities that exist to learn and to change because we're busy defending and protecting. For those reasons, because I think we tend to rush, we don't have a deliberate process, and we have a tendency to be very defensive, I decided it was worth it to share personal stuff that I don't typically share on the podcast, especially like about my relationships and the way that they have impacted the last year. Because as you guys know, and the past couple years. That's just been a big part of my own personal journey. I felt that it was worth it enough to have this conversation publicly if it means that you are more deliberate and open-minded and honest with yourself as you look back over the last year. I can assure you that I would be way more comfortable doing this work solo, my year-end review. But in my heart, if I'm honest with myself about what adds the most value to this community, it is sharing it with you and embracing all that comes from that. My goal in doing a year-end review is actually not to celebrate wins, right? I've kind of done that along the way, and I'm not somebody that really needs pats on the back. I don't think it's particularly helpful for me. We've all had cheerleaders in our lives, and they don't necessarily help us create change. But I'm also not doing it to beat myself up or even give tough love on what went wrong. I'm doing it to be objective about where I met a goal, where I missed it, what were the patterns, where are there patterns that I need to break, and then, especially with the goals that I missed, do they still matter? If they do, what needs to change, and if they don't, what matters more? So much of what I'll share with you is both personal and emotional. This review isn't about me being personally emotional about what has happened or where I hit the mark and where I missed the mark, but just being a little bit more objective about what patterns were there and what I learned about what goals are worth pursuing and what are not. Sometimes we become so attached to a goal that we keep setting it out there year after year after year. And when we don't hit it time after time, we're never deliberate in saying, is that really what matters most to me? Or is there a change that needs to happen here so that I make more progress and have less resistance? I'm modeling this because I don't want you to rush. And most of us, including myself, rush everything. And it's such a big mistake because when we do that, when we rush through it just to like check it off the list, we got it done, we leave so much on the table. We leave so much juice left in the fruit. And we're selling ourselves short. We're missing out on huge opportunities for growth. So I'm not here to accept losses and find solutions, but to embrace the necessity of both winning and losing. Yeah, the wins are progress, but the losses are too, because my biggest lessons in general, and this year is no exception, and my most significant launch pads come from where I missed the mark, where I fell short, or where I had a big struggle. So I'm not confronting and acknowledging and owning. I'm fully aware of the necessity of loss, but also the opportunity created from where I missed the mark. I'm looking to find and use the tools that come from where I won and where I didn't. The first place I start in my year-end review is with what went well. And it's not like the nitty-gritty little things. These are the big things that stand out. And is it going to be a perfectly comprehensive list? No. I'm sure that as soon as it comes out of my mouth here on this recording, I am going to think of like 10 other things that are as big, if not bigger. But it's not about perfection here. It's about finding patterns. And I know that I can see the patterns by just saying, what went really well? What were my biggest wins of the year? Not to pat myself on the back, though there's nothing wrong with that. Make sure you are writing this down too. Because what we're looking for is the patterns that helped us create the success. What did it take? What work? What approach? What mindset? What tactics led to these wins? So I'm just going to go through a few of my biggest wins for the year. I am more fit and more strong than I have ever been in my life. I've PR'd, set personal records in the gym more times in the last 6 or 8 months than like in my entire workout history of years and years past. So I am way more strong and fit than I was at this time last year. I'm also way more confident in my athletic ability. And part of that comes from being stronger and more fit. But the other part of it comes from choosing a different perspective and seeing what I am capable of doing in a workout instead of going into workouts with fear. That was something I've talked about a handful of times as I've shared with you the transition to the new gym that I joined and that I moved to join in early March. And that was, I had a tendency to go into a workout afraid of what I wouldn't be able to do. And so I would practice every day going in determined to see what I could do, which is simply a perspective shift. But that perspective shift has led to one of my biggest wins of the year, which is I am way more confident in my ability as an athlete. I've also, huge win for me, I have come so far out of my comfort zone socially, using that gym example, because that's where it's been most obvious to me. That's where I go every single day and interact with people every single day. Working from home, it's one of my most frequent opportunities to engage with other people. Day one, week one, month one in that new gym, I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't make eye contact. I kept to myself. I wasn't unfriendly, but I was not engaging. Now, you know, it's in March, it's the end of November, however many months that is, 8 months or so, I know people's names. I talk to them. I ask about their lives, right? I have friends there. And that did not just come from being there longer, because I've been a member of many, many gyms for longer than I've been there. But I consciously chose to engage with people every single day. And that is a huge win. I am much more comfortable in social situations now than I was at this time last year. I couldn't talk about the wins of the year without talking about the fact that I fell in love. And that has been a huge part of my year personally, but also it has led to so many wins related to my confidence and relationship with food. We'll talk more about that. I have learned so much about myself in the last year, and I would consider that a huge win related mostly to consistency in my habit of meditation. I have a tough time slowing down. I feel like I always have 100 million things to do, but learning about myself and getting really, really clear on my personal flaws and where I need to do some work has come very much from consistency with meditation. That's been huge. Another big win this year, I completed my first ever 5-day fast, even though I thought that would be humanly impossible for me. And in doing so, that 5-day fast reframed my perspective on hunger in such a significant and meaningful way. That was definitely the best part of that 5-day fast. Big win of the year, I froze my eggs. I successfully harvested and froze 8 mature eggs, and the biggest win in that was overcoming the fear of giving myself injections. And I guess overcoming the fear is probably the wrong way to phrase it, but working through that fear and getting it done anyway, that was a huge win. I built a custom tiny house. It is about 2 weeks from being done. And that was something that was so important to me in creating a life that I want, where my money is not being spent on overhead and bills, but I am free to live the way that I want to live in a space that I love. So that was a huge win of the year. My business grew. And while my business grew, I remained debt-free, and so did the business. Huge win. Another huge win was ending the Daily Motivations podcast, which might sound like a weird win, but that was a huge step for me in prioritizing not just staying busy, but really creating the outcomes I want for my life. So that was a big win. I got off my Hashimoto's medication. That's not something I think that I've shared here. That happened more recently, but that was a really big win. And I think it's hugely related to the health and fitness improvements that have come primarily from my workouts. I had an incredible annual event at Ascend, and the bond in my master's club exceeds my expectations every single day. That is a huge win. And I feel like I'm winning every single day with that group. So looking back, and I'm sure there are more, but that's just a few. It makes it sound like it was an awesome year. And in many ways, it really, really was an awesome year. But it was also a really, really hard year. And that's why it's so important to keep that balanced perspective, because it's easy, especially on the daily basis, to see what is hard, where we dropped the ball, how we didn't end up where we wanted to end up. But when you write down where you won, where you had victories, even if it was like, you know, we went on a family vacation, or I paid off that credit card, or I'm wearing the jeans that I, you know, haven't worn in the last 6 months, or whatever it is, put the wins down. Because especially, and this is something I do on a micro too, kind of sidebar here, if I'm having a particularly hard day, I will pause for a second and either write in my phone or in my journal, what are three great things that have happened in the last 24 hours? And that immediately reframes my perspective, because sometimes we just forget about those things. Once the moment passes, then we're on to the next struggle. And that's a huge contributor to unhappiness and lack of motivation. So doing this and writing it down is such an important thing. Like, give yourself credit for what has gone well, but also be able to look at the patterns that created the success that you want. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. In fact, let's do that right now. What brought about these wins? What did it take to create? Looking at them broadly, like, what do they have in common? And yeah, there are always some outliers, but by and large, what were the trends that created, or the patterns or the habits that created these wins? One is learning to slow down. You know, I talked about ending the Daily Motivations podcast. That was in no way a failure. That is a reflection of my decision to focus on what really moves me towards my goals. And up until that point, don't get me wrong, I loved it, but it was sort of one of those things that I just had to do every day to check the box, but it wasn't directly tied to an outcome that really, really mattered to me. But letting it go was really hard. It would have been easier to just keep doing it because, you know, hey, it only takes a few minutes every single day. But those things add up. Did I disappoint people by ending it? Oh, yes, I did. Logistically, did I have to carve out time to figure that out and how to take it down and how to close different accounts and how to message people about it and how to answer emails about where did it go? And did you forget to release an episode and yada, yada, yada? Yeah. But once I got through that, I realized that that was a practice that I needed to practice more in other areas and with other things, saying, where am I just staying busy when it's not the right thing for me to be doing? Or it's not the wrong thing, but it's not the thing that adds the most value to my life, to my business, etc. So that was one of the trends for sure. I had to stop chasing my tail and really look at, where is my time going? What needs to stop? What needs to stop? The other part of it was full engagement. Joining a new gym for a lot of people is not a scary or hard thing. For me, it was, in part because it's one of the most elite gyms in the country, so that was scary and intimidating, but also because I'm a loner. When I lived in North Carolina, yeah, I trained with a CrossFit coach, but when the gym was closed and nobody else was there. Seriously, that's how I trained for most of my life. And then when I moved to New England, I joined a regular gym and would intentionally work out at the time when there were the fewest people there, and I never took a class. But my wins in fitness, my wins in strength, and my wins in the connection and the confidence that I've created came from fully engaging. The wins in the Masters Club follow that same pattern, and at Ascend follow that same pattern, and in business growth follow that same pattern. I will fully engage. I don't just show up and go through the motions. I will fully engage, and I will model full engagement, and I will encourage full engagement. And that is absolutely a pattern. So when we find these patterns, when you're doing your year-end review, then you have to ask, how do I practice that today? What does full engagement look like today? Or what do I need to cut from my day-to-day so that I can work on the things that matter most, or invest in the things and the people and the relationships that matter most? Let's talk about what didn't go well. Here's what I want you to avoid when you do this, and what I work to avoid when I do this. Do not explain to yourself or anyone else why it did not go well. Do not wrap it in circumstances. I'll give you an example of the wrong way to do this. Many of you know that this year started as my year of push, which, though I don't know I said it like this, in my mind, that was about fat loss. Fat loss, year of push. So fat loss didn't go as I expected in terms of ultimate outcome. So doing this the wrong way, looking at what you didn't nail or hit or achieve or accomplish, what didn't go as you expected, doing it the wrong way looks like this. I didn't lose as much body fat as I had hoped to, and my legs are still bigger than I had liked, but I mean, I was still struggling with Hashimoto's and the right medication, and I spent, you know, at least half the year trying to figure that out. And I mean, I fell in love, so that was sort of a wrinkle that I didn't expect. And, you know, there was some emotional growth that I prioritized over there, and then the egg harvesting stuff. So all in all, I feel pretty good about what I did in the circumstances. I have no issue with anybody feeling good about the end result. In fact, please do. But here's what happens when we craft a story around what happened and why we didn't meet our expectations or our goals. We miss the opportunity to learn and grow because our ego gets in the way and we spend our energy trying to make it okay and understandable. It already is okay. You don't need the circumstances and the explaining and the justifying, and all those things do is mask how and where you can learn and grow. Whatever happened, whatever you did or didn't achieve, it's already okay. It's already fine. Keep your ego and your justification out of the process and face the facts without your story. Face the facts without your story, your justification, your explanation. And this is critical in everything in life, but especially when we're reviewing our progress towards our goals. So facing the fact without the story is, I did not lose all the body fat I wanted to lose. No drama. That's what happened. I did not streamline and organize my business the way I wanted to. I also did not meet my primal potential sales targets in 3 out of 7 categories. From there, of those misses, where I missed the mark, what really matters to me? Looking back, okay, I didn't hit the goal. Does the goal still matter? Does it matter as I had originally outlined it? Has my goal changed? Because before I start to say, all right, well, what needs to change so that I hit them? It's more important that I say, are those still the right goals? Aligned with what I want most? I'm a different person now than I was a year ago. Is that still what I want most? Is that still where I want my energy to go? For fat loss, yep, it is. It is aligned with what I want most. The why has changed, though. I want to be an amazing athlete. Not like a superstar, not a pro athlete, but I want to be an amazing athlete. The best I can be. I'm in a sidebar here because I think there's a lot of value in this particular aspect of change and of fat loss. I chose another priority over fat loss in the last 8 months or so because I had a gap. And it was a gap I didn't know I had. This is why setting goals and reviewing them is so important, because when I set the goal when I was like, year of push, I didn't know I had the gap. And maybe I didn't not know I had it, but I just wasn't paying attention. It hadn't really been brought into my attention, into my focus. I had a gap in confidence. And I had a gap in wrapping my mind around being able to pursue two things at once. I felt like it was either you're living life and you're indulging, or you're pursuing your goals. And I didn't have that balance figured out. But more importantly, I had a real big gap in confidence. And an opportunity presented itself for me to fill that gap. And I chose to make that a priority. All right. You might think that that is me fighting to explain why I didn't reach, no, like I didn't reach my fat loss goal, period, the end. I own it. And I am now able to look and see what I want to do differently to make that happen. Resist the urge to explain why and why not as you go through this, with the exception of what did you prioritize instead? And what needs to change in that? Was that the right choice? Do you want to continue along those lines? Or do you want to make a shift? Just be objective. Where did you not meet your goals or expectations? Keep it simple. I didn't meet 3 out of my 7 sales targets. I didn't simplify my business the way I wanted to. And I did not lose as much fat mass as I had hoped to. None of those things take away from all of the wins. None of them add to the wins. It just is what happened. So I want to revisit this fat loss thing and the circumstantial justification tendency that we all have versus pivoting, right? The conscious decision to pursue something else when an opportunity arises, or you feel like something is actually a critical stepping stone, a leap you didn't know you had to make before you could pursue that other thing. And that's kind of what I happened upon. And I'm talking in circles right now, and I really need to speak frankly, but it is super, super personal. I think I'm just going to go there anyway, because I think there's value in it. And I always think there's value in just brutal honesty. You can tell I'm kind of like, oh, how do I approach this directly? I'm going to share more about my personal life than I normally do, because I think this matters. It's something I mentioned a little bit at Ascend, but I'm going to go a little bit more deeply into it right now. I mentioned in my wins that a big win for me in 2017 was falling in love. Early in the year, I was totally heartbroken. And I fell in love while totally heartbroken. More or less at the beginning of the year, I felt personally pretty much destroyed. And I was very patient with that feeling. Like, I knew it wouldn't kill me. And I was very patient with it in terms of day by day, I would say one breath at a time, one breath at a time. But it was pretty dark. Even the night before my first date with this person that I fell in love with, I was just confused. And I, several times, even before the night before, I tried to cancel the date. And he just kept saying, let's just get a drink. Like, there's no harm that can come from getting a drink. And I'm thinking of, unless you're a psycho with a weapon, but he wasn't. And I've dated a lot. I don't know what's a lot, but I feel like it's a lot for me, not since my divorce, but like before that and all of that. And you've got to remember that in that process, high school, college, after college, the guy that I ended up marrying, all of that, I was always obese, like dating and obese. I think dating's hard in general. Dating when you're obese has got to be like a whole nother level of challenging. For those of you that listened to episode 204, where my mom is on the show, I said to her on that episode that growing up, I always felt like I wasn't enough. And she responded on that episode, you weren't. So from a dating perspective, that was my operating system that I brought into every relationship. Because I wasn't enough for my mom because of my weight, and that wasn't an assumption. It was something that was verbalized to me as well as something that came through in our interactions. I believe that to be true with all people. So in every relationship, that was my perspective. I am not enough because of my weight. And I would verbally and directly, as well as non-verbally and indirectly, apologize for my weight. And I would make jokes about it. And I would pledge progress. I promise I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get serious. And I would try to make up for my weight. And I think there was probably a combination of things that happened. Whether men learned from me how to react to my weight. I set the example, I'm not enough because of my weight, and then they followed suit. Or if that's how they felt on their own, regardless of my perspective on it, that pattern followed every relationship I've had. I'm not enough because of my weight. So flash forward, a few weeks into dating, I made a comment about my weight, and it wasn't like an apology or anything, probably just like part of my story and how I was still in my journey and losing weight and da 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 da. And he looked at me like I was Cyclops, like I was like, I don't know, like I had four heads or 12 eyes, and said something along the lines of, like, he was totally confused by my comment about trying to lose weight, and said something along the lines of, you're perfect, you're beautiful. I mean, if you want to lose weight, but if you don't, like, awesome, you're perfect the way that you are. It was just not a thing. He didn't understand why I was trying to change. And it was the first relationship in my life where it was just not a thing. My weight was not a thing. Not only was it not a thing, like, I don't care whether you do or whether you don't, that I was wanted and desired exactly how I was. Like, it was so foreign to me. It still in a lot of ways is, right? And that was really hard for me. Initially, I didn't trust it. My perspective was like, oh, right. Mm-hmm, sure, you wouldn't prefer it if I was a size 4. And he would look at me again like I was a crazy person. Like, no, actually, I would not prefer that. And after a few months of that and me sort of resisting that and not trusting that, I realized, Elizabeth, this is a huge opportunity for you to fill a massive gap in your head, in your perspective, and in your confidence. You have a huge opportunity to learn a critical lesson, to not be in a race to change, to love right where you are, and learn this lesson, fill this gap. Not in the way of like, I'm sexy because somebody else thinks I'm sexy, but hey, this feeling that somebody loves you and wants you just how you are, that shouldn't feel so foreign. And you need to pause here, and you need to learn here, and you need to make this your own, because that should not feel foreign, no matter how much you weigh. And the other part of the lesson was, celebrate where you are right now without always having the perspective of like, hey, honey, watch me shrink. So I gave myself permission, and permission is totally not the right word, but I'm not going to edit that because I don't edit. It doesn't imply how I made the choice. I gave myself an instruction to stop and fall in love with myself right here like this, because it was a gap for me and I had to fill the gap, because if I didn't fill the gap, what really strongly occurred to me is, you're going to lose all the fat you want to lose, and it's still not going to be enough. And you're still not, like, it's not going to all of a sudden be like, poof, now you're enough. No, if you have never decided that no matter what, you are confident in who you are and what you are and how you are, regardless of the size of your jeans, you've got to stop and fill this gap. You've got to stop and fill this gap. And so I did. Now, could I pursue fat loss at the same time? Yes, absolutely, positively, 100%. Not trying to say that there's only one way to do this, but that was the way I chose to do it. And also because I had never experienced somebody accepting me. Not even accepting me. Because acceptance sort of implies like, yeah, this'll do. Someone really appreciating me exactly how I am with no changes. And I wanted to experience that. It mattered to me. It still matters to me. Talking about a boyfriend on the podcast is really risky because he's not my fiance and he's not my husband, and who the hell knows what's going to happen. But regardless of what happens, I don't think I'll ever regret recording this, because it does mark a really critical learning experience and growth opportunity for me, and a gap that I had and still work on, though I've improved, oh God, like you can't even imagine. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. So I'm not into the whole like body love acceptance, like fat is sexy movement. I mean, if you think you're sexy at any weight, like more power to you. I just want to differentiate between you don't have to change versus It's great to want to pursue your potential, but do not leave this gap of I am not enough and think that losing weight will fill that gap, because it won't, right? So I just want to be clear in differentiating between those things. You cannot pursue an endpoint that you think will give you something other than the endpoint itself. So, and I've talked about this on the podcast a handful of times, and I talked about it at Ascend. You cannot pursue fat loss because you think it's going to give you confidence. You cannot pursue fat loss because you think it's going to make you happy. Fat loss gives you fat loss, nothing more. Happiness and confidence are different. And I realized that I had a big gap in confidence, and that I had never experienced ever in any relationship somebody that was just completely accepting of me as I was in that moment. And I had to fill that gap. I wanted to fill that gap. I chose to fill that gap. And there are many, many ways that you can fill it, for sure. I'm just sharing with you how this year I had the opportunity and made the choice to do that. And I anticipate that that will resonate with many of you. And so I'll say a couple more words about how I did that, because I think I never knew how. And this relationship gave me lots of opportunities without me having to kind of figure that out. And the first was just simply accepting compliments. He always says randomly, "You're so pretty." And normally I would just roll my eyes, and sometimes I still do. But that was a first step, just saying thank you and believing that he meant it. like he just felt it and he thought it and he said it, and not dismissing it. Just saying thank you to whatever compliment from anybody. I was in the gym 2 days ago, and I was doing my workout while two girls in a later class were sitting on the floor pretty close to where I was doing my workout. And they were watching me. And at first I was like, are they counting my reps? They were watching me so closely that I was almost sure they were counting my reps. And so while I'm going through my workout and ready to die, I'm thinking, why are these girls counting my reps? And then after I finished my workout, they both came up to me and said, "We were just talking about how amazing you look. Like, seriously, whatever you're doing, keep up the great work." And instead of saying, "Oh, thanks, you know, still have a ways to go," I just said, "Thank you. That's so kind. Like, I really appreciate it." And then I said, "I thought you were counting my reps," but I just said thank you. So that was the first step. Then it was about choosing a perspective of abundance, meaning choosing to see what is beautiful and what is sexy and what I can be confident about, instead of a perspective of lack. This was probably one of the biggest wins and the biggest changes that I created this year, which is so cool because it came from one of my biggest misses of the year with fat loss, right? I didn't reach the end goal that I wanted to reach. And yet one of my biggest wins came from that, which is just, that's the magic of this process. Because happiness is the path to health, and health is not the path to happiness. I know a few minutes ago I said not being in a race to change. And even as I said that, and since I've said that, it sort of makes me a little uncomfortable. Like, by not being in a race to change, does that mean that I'm just accepting less than my best? Does that mean that I have to feel like I don't want to change, or that I shouldn't change? Now, I have the benefit of hindsight at this point, which is a huge part of why I'm sharing this, because I have more clarity on it now than I did many months ago. Not being in a race to change, or choosing to prioritize confidence and peace over the urgency of transformation, does not mean giving up or settling. For me, it's about doing it right and for the right reasons, with the right mindset, and prioritizing the foundation over the pace. Prioritizing permanence over pace. It's a mindset of, I'm not doing this to be beautiful or confident, right? I'm not pursuing fat loss so that I can feel beautiful or feel confident. I am beautiful. And I'm doing the work to create confidence day by day, choice by choice, perspective by perspective. And I'll keep doing that work because it's a separate thing.
And now I feel like, to a large degree, I've done so much more of that work. And now, as I push towards that fat loss goal, it is with a far more solid foundation and with a more powerful belief in myself and my potential, and from a place of abundance instead of a place of not good enough, right? Now I feel like as I pursue what I consider from a physique standpoint, from a body fat standpoint, sort of like the last phase of my journey, it's not doing it because I'm not enough as I am. It's because it's what I desire for my best life. It's not because I'm trying to fill a hole, but because I'm trying to take the next step forward, which is a wildly different perspective for me. And now, because I did that work, because I filled that gap, I move forward without this thing weighing me down, this sense of I'm not good enough, this sense that I'll only be wanted and I'll only be okay if I lose the weight, and the resentment that I carried along with that. I feel like that is so much more gone now than it ever was before. And that is why, for me, in my own personal journey, filling that gap was such a huge priority. And in no way was it giving up the goal. It was more intelligently pursuing the goal, more sustainably pursuing the goal, expanding the scope of the goal so that it's really sustainable over the long term, to be able to pursue that goal of fat loss from a stronger foundation and a stronger sense of purpose and certainty. Having someone love you as you are right now, that shouldn't feel foreign. It was a huge red flag to me that felt so foreign. No matter how much you weigh or how much debt you're in, it should not feel like a surprise, like a lie. And if it does, my friend, like me, you have some important work to do. We all know how many millions of people are out there who lose a ton of weight and still hate their bodies and still don't love themselves and then return to any form of self-medicating behaviors, whether that's food or it's money or it's sex or it's whatever. And I don't want that. I've been there before. And a lot of why I was there before was due to unsustainable strategies like crash dieting, and that's certainly not my situation now. But I didn't want to be an unhappy achiever. Like, I refuse to be an unhappy achiever. So wrapping up this process of reviewing 2017 and what that looks like for me, I want you to be asking yourself the questions, and these are the questions I'm asking myself. What is working? What is producing the results that you want and feel sustainable? What, as you pursue it, and this is what helps us figure out what goal we should be going after, what, as you pursue it, makes you feel more peaceful, happier, or more in control? Make sure you look at what was not working and what needs to change, and what specifically does that change look like? What goal, one, two, probably not more than three, really, really matters to you in 2018 because it's going to materially improve your life? Personally, I divided this into three categories. I think you could definitely have one or two. More than three, I think, becomes really hard to focus, but I picked three categories. My three categories are health, relationships, and career. My career goal: my book will be on bookshelves in the year 2018. Simple. Not simple, but straightforward. My relationship goal: intentionally connect with someone outside of Primal Potential in a meaningful way every single day. And the reason I say outside of potential is because I meaningfully connect with people, dozens and dozens of people, every single day inside of Primal Potential. And it's important to me, whether it's in the gym, whether it's in a romantic relationship, whether it's with my family or friendships, existing or new friendships, intentionally connect with someone in a meaningful way every single day. And my health goal is a specific body fat percentage that I want to be at or under. We all set goals, and none of that is magic. The key here, guys, is the process we went through today in figuring out what is the right goal for you and what strategies are really going to create results. But then beyond that, once you've done that, what are you going to do every single day to bring your attention to that thing? Not just to think about it and mull it over, but attention in a way that leads you to an action step every single day, whether it's a tiny little shimmy step or a big giant step forward. What will you do every single day to bring your attention to it? What I did to make this happen, and I mentioned this in a previous episode, is I created a custom journal that goes through those three areas and asks me every single day in this custom daily journal, what am I going to do today to move in that direction of that goal? So I can't forget about the goals. It's not like 3 months later, oh gee, I totally dropped the ball. I am bringing my attention to it every day, not in the way of reading my goals, which I do think can be helpful, but in a way of asking what step I will take on that day to move in the direction of that goal. And I will say, after creating that custom journal, I overhauled the Fat Loss Fast Track journal. It's a daily journal as well. And it's going to be fashioned in a similar but slightly different way. That's the journal we'll be using in the Fat Loss Fast Tracks. The first round using the new journal kicks off in January, opens up to the waitlist in just a few weeks. You can get on the waitlist, primalpotential.com/wait18. But these are the questions to go through. Where did you win? What worked well that needs to continue? Not just with your health. Look at your relationships, your career, your finances, fitness. Look at all of it. What led to the wins where you had success? How can you apply some of the strategies to where you struggled? Take what led to your wins and say, how do I use that kind of approach where I struggled? Because that is more informative than any podcast, any blog. The strategies that worked for you in your life, you know what you respond to. So how can you apply that to an area where you want to see more results? Where did you miss the mark? Without the story, without the drama, where did you miss the mark? Now, what do you want most for the next year? And what are you going to do to create it? And most importantly, how are you going to bring your attention to that every single day? The Fat Loss Fast Track is certainly one way, because we have a very, very carefully constructed journal to help you do that. But you can do it in any number of ways. Now, because this was such a personal show, I'm going to end on a personal note. As I mentioned, it is a little bit scary to talk about a boyfriend on a show, because who knows where the relationship will go. And that's true, I guess, of any relationship. It's always hard to address that transition publicly. But because this, so much of how I grew this year has to do with my current boyfriend, happy birthday to him. You have made me so much better. You have shown me gaps in myself that I wasn't willing to face, that maybe I knew were there, but I didn't know how to address them. And without ever a word, without ever directing me in what to do, just by being yourself, just by being so alive and so vibrant and so honest and so drama-free, you taught me how to love myself better. And because of that, the reason it's so relevant on this podcast is because in doing that for me, when you didn't even know what you were doing, you made Primal Potential better. And you made me better able to help other people help themselves. So thank you, and I love you. Guys, it matters so much to me to be personal and real on this show, because this journey of life that we're talking about here is personal and is real. And when I hear people that are like fake or only putting forth certain areas, you know, of their journey that they're talking about, like, it's just hard for me to relate to. So I always want to address you the way that I would want somebody else to address me, and that is being honest and being real. I am in this journey with you every day, trying to be better and do better and learn. So if there is anything that I can do to help you in your process, let me know, because I'm here and I'm real and I would love to help. I want to remind you guys that the first Fat Loss Fast Track of 2018 kicks off the first week of January, and registration opens to the wait list in mid-December. So you can get on the wait list. It's super easy. I'll link to it in the show notes. primalpotential.com/wait18. primalpotential.com/wait, as in waitlist, wait18. And I will link to it over on the show notes for this episode at primalpotential.com. I love you guys. I'm excited about the year ahead. I'm excited about what we can do to really get a running start in the next 6 weeks, because there's still a lot of time left in 2017, and I am here to help you make the most of it. I hope you guys have a really great day, and I will talk to you very soon.
Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Primal Potential Podcast, where my goal is not to inform you, but to transform you. And if you would like to receive free motivation and strategy and recipes, workouts, meal ideas every week right to your inbox, just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. It's a great way to get the tools, the strategies, and the practical implementation assistance that you need to create your own transformation between podcast episodes. Just text the word PRIMAL to the number 44222 or go to primalpotential.com/join. See you there.